The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. The list goes on and on. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's my friend Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's happening?
No, not much.
Not a hair out of place. Look at you.
Yeah, good hair day. Good hair day. It's going to be a good show, Gil.
Good hair day from Kelly. I'm excited. I always like a Wednesday show in the middle of football season because we're not as hamstrung to the games behind us and the games forward.
Yeah.
So we get to like clean up stuff we missed.
Get to clean up stuff. Yeah. We can do a little bit more, some fun segments, dig into some stuff a little bit more. I'm with you. Yeah.
That's right.
Every day is a different feel during football season.
That's right.
That's what I like about it. Yeah.
That's right. It's like every season of The Wire. Same thing. Maybe not.
Overrated show.
What?
Yeah, I know. We've argued about this so many times.
Oh my God.
It's a good show. It's not a really great show.
I don't think I've ever heard you use that word with The Wire.
Yeah, you've called me out. This is probably the third time.
This your power ranking drops severely when you say that. that's for another day and show. Oh God. Coming up, Mark Borchardt on baseball, Paul Carr on the Champions League.
The Champions.
The number one champion sound. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Now, do I have to ask him about Skeens and Merrill? Do I? Maybe. Jason wants you to know he'll make money either way, though. We'll get to Jason Weingarten talking baseball and beyond, all his bets. I wanted to start. Oh, by the way, we're also going to do teasers today. We're going to do Survivor Strategy, which you like to refer to as the former President Bush Survivor Strategery.
Strategery.
Yeah,
I like
we'll
it.
Do that.
Strategery.
I am very focused on Survivor this week. I think I have further narrowed it down, but we'll get to that.
I actually can't wait to talk to you. Every week I like talking it through with you, but like I don't feel like I feel like this week we haven't hit on it as much already week.
I said I got three. It's between three.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Like we had Todd Wright on yesterday and others who have given their others on Twitter who have given their like top five. And one of my top two or three is not on there. So I'm like really curious as to why that is.
The one that Todd referenced yesterday?
Yeah, the one that Todd referenced. Yeah, we'll get into that. I want to start, though, because yesterday I made a bet and I want to share because that's what we do. We share. And it wasn't. Remember, we had two baseball discussions yesterday. We had one with Will Hill, which we also sent a clip out on Twitter about, which was, you know, should you bet Skeens and Merrill right now for National League Rookie of the Year? He said yes. That he thought there was still value on Paul Skeens. But that isn't what I ended up betting because when we were talking about it with Will on air yesterday, it was plus 310 at DraftKings. When we got finished with it, it had dropped a little bit at those locations, like a DraftKings, like a FanDuel. Here in town, it was never that. Here in town, it was about plus 220 was the most that I saw. And then by the time we got to it, it was about plus 205. So I was like, okay, it's plus 205. I'm relying on humans for an award. Plus, we have to wait till like Thanksgiving for it. Not quite, but almost.
I always forget about that.
Yeah, I mean, so it's like, I don't know if this is a very attractive bet from where we're standing. So I didn't bet that one. But we did have a conversation that was a little more low-key yesterday with Paul Sporer about the Detroit Tigers. I brought up that the Tigers, while we've been watching, because we have this Braves bet, Braves to miss the playoffs. By the way, now the Braves two games behind both the Diamondbacks and the Mets. We're winning this VSiN contest, baby.
That's right. That we don't know if it's still going, and we don't know what we get if we win.
How many people do you think will still be talking about this VSiN contest when we win it? The answer is nobody but us. We have to get Dave Ross to get the actual. But anyway, if the Braves miss the playoffs, so we've been focused in on that. But the Tigers are only 1.5 games behind the Minnesota Twins all of a sudden, right? They've been lurking all year, or at least the second half of the season, and now they're a game and a half back. They won last night. The Tigers did. They beat the Royals in extras, and the Twins beat the Guardians 4-1. So both teams won yesterday. So I bet the Tigers yesterday plus 450 to make the playoffs. Now, you can't get plus 450 exactly, but you can get close to that. Plus 380 is out there. I still think that's a good bet today. And what this comes down to is, yes, they're a game and a half back. Again, if you look at the remaining schedule, and now with the Tigers getting one additional game against the Royals past them, now it's in the rear view, one additional game, the Tigers have, at this point, the third easiest schedule remaining in the baseball season. They have 10 games left, as do the Twins have 11 games left, but the Twins' schedule is a little more difficult. But they lose also, the Tigers lose the tiebreaker, with the Twins. You have to be aware of tiebreakers at this point, too. The Twins beat the Tigers in the season series 7-6. So if they end up tied, we lose on the Tigers. But the whole bet here is the Tigers get three against the White Sox. They get three against the Rays. They get three against the Orioles, which is considered their hardest opponent. And I would argue if you seeded the 12 teams in the playoffs right now, which I get we don't do because there's two leagues, but if you did, I would argue the Orioles would be the 12th seed right now. They are just not a good baseball team as currently operating. So I, you know, and then there's the one game remaining against the Royals. So I do think that you, so you're going to have to eclipse the Twins here by two games in the loss column at this point. And I do think the Tigers with that schedule are capable of doing it. And they certainly have the schedule laid out. So at plus 450, and I do believe at plus 380, that to me is a bet. And you don't have to wait till Thanksgiving. You just have to wait till the end of next week to find out if you win or lose. So that was the...
That's end of regular season?
End of regular season. That's to make the playoffs.
Is next week?
Next Sunday.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, we're now.
So we're getting down to it, man. But there's still, I mean, I guess there's still, what, 5-6 teams in the mix here for that AL wild card?
Seattle's been lurking. I guess they're mathematically alive.
Yeah,
still. I mean,
they're three back.
Boston is mathematically alive.
Yeah, they're five back. They're not getting there. That's kind of why I went 5-6. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, do you want to flash up real quick the Major League Baseball September and best record standings?
Yeah, let's
do that real quick. For the month of September, it's a bit of a log jam. Again, I had the Diamondbacks. They're not close. The Diamondbacks are losing games to the Rockies, for God's sakes. A lot of these teams are sort of staggering into the postseason. The Diamondbacks are. The Orioles are. Not staggering, but they're just not playing great baseball. Here, Mets and Phillies, both at 11-4 after wins yesterday. Tigers and Reds. The aforementioned Tigers and the Reds are 10-5. Guardians 10-6. And then you have the Padres and the Yankees, both with 9 wins. Padres 9-5, Yankees 9-6. And then best record in baseball. I'm going to lose all these Diamondbacks first seed and best record in baseball. They're even off the charts now. The Phillies 91-60, a 2-game lead over the Dodgers. If you bet this market for best record in all of Major League Baseball, again, either 10 or 11 games left, depending on the club.
Man, we're finally down to six teams on this graphic.
Oh, yeah, I had to
what
shed.
What an incredible run that was for...
Oh, they were so close to each other for so long, like 10 teams deep.
It was wild.
But now, finally, that leaderboard is shedding. Even the Padres are six back. They're 5.5 back. They probably shouldn't be on there. But it is a race between the Phillies, Dodgers, Yankees, Brewers, and Guardians, who have kind of, lingered at the top all season long.
What's the biggest surprise team to you this year? Is it the Guardians without
a
doubt?
Not to me, because I had them, in March, April, and May. I had them rated higher than most, and I was betting them.
And Padres you had over on win total, but
And I had Padres I had over on win total, so that wasn't a surprise. So nothing there to me.
The Cubbies?
I would say that the Mets, who are just off screen, are probably the most surprising to me, probably. The other thing we didn't get to yesterday was one of the NFL awards, right? We went through a few of the NFL awards. We went through MVP, and I believe we went through Rookie of the Year. We didn't go through Offensive Player of the Year, which might be the most interesting of all of them at this point in the National Football League. Got a text this morning. By the way, Saquon Barkley and CeeDee Lamb, thanks, guys, are the co-short shots. Both are 7-1. The Vikings' Justin Jefferson, who had to leave the field the other day, is 11-1. Breece Hall and Bijan was great the other night, by the way, 14-1.
Yeah.
Then it's Nico Collins, who we discussed. He's at 17-1. And I got a tweet that when Bet Bash was going on, our buddy Drew Dinsick, who apparently is having a beautiful vacation in the Greek Isles this week.
Please tweet more pictures.
Pictures, Drew.
Drew, yeah. That's not making us all hate you.
He did deep dive. Part of Spanky's Bet Bash was that guys did their podcast live during Bet Bash, and Drew did deep dive with Andy Molitor live at Bet Bash, and he gave out Nico Collins Offensive Player of the Year at 66-1. So he was all over Nico, if you believe in that. Nico's now 17-1. And then I got a text this morning from Michael Montesano, who was the Circa Booby Prize winner. He just bet Alvin Kamara at 20-1.
I mean, from what we're seeing through 2 weeks, that's the name that jumps off this graphic. I was listening to Adam Levitan a little bit on the way in on his latest podcast from Establish the Run talking about Kamara. And it's just, I don't know who really would have seen this coming. I know that we're going to have Jason on later in the show. And you know, he even kind of convinced me too with, hey, Taysom Hill's going might be more involved in the offense this year.
Jason loves Taysom.
Well, and they still got Jamal Williams there. And it's been like through two games, it's just been Alvin Kamara doing Alvin Kamara things from like 4 years ago that we haven't really seen much.
Well, part of this was when we were doing the preview of the Saints. Right, the great Aaron Schatz saying how he thought they were good, just boring, and so it takes people off the scent of the Saints. Say that a few times fast. But Kamara, who leads the NFL in yards from scrimmage and touchdowns through 2 weeks, we pointed out when we were doing that preview that it's now Clint Kubiak as their offensive coordinator, and Kubiak is using Alvin Kamara, kind of like you would use Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
So. That to me, I would endorse as the best bet on the board. And this is one of those things where it's like, well, I'd rather have done this segment after I bet it kind of thing. But sometimes we don't get around to it. And Kamara 20-1 now for offensive player of the year. That feels like the best bet. I will tell you why, because I don't think Saquon, as good as Saquon is, I don't think that Eagles offense is going to allow him to get it.
Man, that is
in the end.
I did catch a stat on him yesterday, though. Back-to-back 95-plus yard rushing games for him for the first time since 2019.
Yeah. There's also the wear and tear part of that. Yep. You wonder if, you know, running back like him could hold up like that. I liked Breece Hall as a possibility before the season, but I don't know. That Jets offense not really steamrolling at this point. Let's put it that way.
That was my favorite bet preseason. I didn't bet it. Like, do you have any bets in this market?
I do not.
Yeah, me either. Yeah. I know we did the draft, the awards draft, where he was a hot name in. I didn't end up betting him, but I'm with you. With the start that they've had, I'm not rushing to bet him right now either, right around the same number.
I would say Kamara, as you said, jumps off the screen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Is it Kamara or Kamara? Have we decided?
Kamara. I thought it was Kamara.
I'm going Kamara.
I'm actually pretty sure he said it's fine either way, but
sort of like you're a Grillo golfer. That's fine. You Americans pronounce it any way you want. Survivor, next, right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nobody knows football like VSiN, and for a limited time, you can get your first month of VSiN Pro for just $9.99. Sign up now. You'll gain instant access to our daily best bets, 19 hours of live programming, proven betting systems for professional handicappers, and our exclusive betting splits. Start a monthly subscription today. Get your first month for only $9.99, or bet smarter through the entire NFL season with our football special for just $175. Don't miss out on these limited time offers, though. They are limited time offers. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe and become a better. That's a better. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Good, bad. If they're bad, just be funny. We'll still read them as long as you're being funny.
I got one for you, too.
This is from Brosek 1870. All this Bryce Young stuff from yesterday is all Lovey Smith's fault. That 2-point conversion there will change the NFL forever. What he's referring is remember
what an amazing moment in history.
Lovey Smith's final flipping of the bird
Houston
Texans.
He was already fired, right?
It was already known that he would be fired. They had no reason to win this game. And yet it was Davis Mills who engineered remember there was two fourth down conversions on the game winning drive.
Winning the game would only hurt the Texans' draft position.
And it did. Then they won. And what he's referring to is that changed NFL history forever, right? Houston ends up with a second pick and, you know, Carolina then ends up taking Bryce Young number one. And Houston gets Stroud, right, to fall in their lap. Although, you know, if Houston had the number one pick, would they have taken Stroud?
They were going
Stroud
regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the only thing it changes is how much they had to trade, I guess. less to trade.
King's ransom. RB Treff, just to follow Visa. One of the many things I love about the show is that you can talk factually about Bryce Young performing terribly while not disparaging him as a human. In fact, you rightly wish him the best. Well, we try to not be that kind of person on the show. So thank you for that. It's very kind.
Yeah. This is not ready for the NFL. I wish he gets another. I hope he gets another opportunity. Yeah. Who knows if it happens?
Hope so. DGFL9. Love my Baxter. Thanks for the shout out, Gil. See you at the finish line, buddy. Love my Baxter. I believe was a Survivor winner a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
So all he's right. looking to have a second title. Tom Collins, one of the best shows that you can listen to or watch, talking about a numbers game. Thank you, Tom Collins. That's very kind. Don't worry. There's bad ones coming. We included bad ones. Sal Sports. This is Sal Capaccio, who I believe is a Bills reporter. This is really good. Oh, talking about the explanation of the Sirianni debacle yesterday in the Eagles-Falcons game. He said, this is really good. No hot takey screaming, et cetera. Very well explained and laid out about last night's decision-making. A lot of points of discussion from the clock management to play call to field goal decision to Eagles getting the ball back. Thank you, Sal. That's very nice of you. This is from Tony's Markets Tips. Oh, this is a Survivor update after the Eagles-Falcons game. 23 with 10 entries. So again, we have fewer than 4,000 left in a pool that started with over 14,000 entries. 23 people still have all 10 entries. 4 with 9, 8 with 8, 10 with 7 entries left, 18 with 6, and 47 folks still have 5 entries.
Yeah, I guess the part I'm most curious about is how many people bought in for 10 this year.
Yeah, we don't have that. But that's courtesy of Tony's Market Tips via Survivor Atlas. I want to give Survivor Atlas the credit there. Laws for words. Okay.
Yes, best tweet we've gotten in a long time.
So I didn't get this one because this was in response to VEASAN account clip, part of the clip. So for all the praise, Laws for Words says about my explanation. He goes, says the guy who's probably never even coached Pop Warner, whatever.
I said this.
First of all, Laws for Words, let me explain to you the amazing run we had at Maplewood in Bethesda, Maryland. You have no idea what a great coaching job I did there.
By the way, I said this to you yesterday. Yeah. I just started creating a list of jobs that every sports talk host needs to have on their resume.
Yes.
A year of med school.
Yes.
Pre-law would be good. Coach a year of Pop Warner, apparently.
Yeah, got to.
I'm going to go with referee every high school sport. So when we complain about refs, we have that insight. And I'm sure I'm missing 5 other things. But
It's so great because that argument can apply to anything, right?
Like, right.
Kelly. No more hip hop opinions from you and you until you put out a hip hop album. You were slandering KRS-One over the break. I just can't take it until you have your own album. Bills fan. And this is, by the way,
thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
That's really all we care about.
Lost for
you
words.
Can rip on us all you want.
I appreciate you hanging on my every word nonetheless. Bills fan. The Bills are the new Lions this year. He goes, totally agree. The show and Gil and Kelly are fantastic. Gil does think the Bills are frauds, however, ranked out of his top 10.
Hey, see,
sorry,
I as the Bills defender of this show,
you are.
This is I still haven't seen enough, Gil. This is there are concerns about this defense still. 2 big wins, like we talked about. Tua leaves that game on Thursday night. You're not going to argue starting off the season 2-0. There's still concerns though for me with this team long term. But gotta love what they've done so far, and they got the Superman quarterback.
They banked 2 wins.
I almost said best quarterback in the league.
I caught you almost leaning into it.
Second best.
Is your number one Anthony Richardson, knowing you?
No, Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, I'm curious. All right. Survivor. Want to talk some Survivor strategery? Let's do it. Week 3. Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
That works.
Yeah, well done. thank you, B. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Michelle. What happened to the original 2 girls? That's another show. Here's the thing. I said yesterday I've narrowed it down to 3. I've narrowed it down to, and let's show a list of big favorites here. Let's do it this way. All right, Jets Thursday night, 6.5-point favorites against the New England Patriots. I don't trust that.
No, not at all.
The Patriots have been feisty. I don't trust that as a Survivor play. Let me skip the Buccaneers for a second. Let me skip the Browns. Let me go to the Raiders. Now with Andy Dalton now quarterbacking the Panthers, I don't trust the Raiders. Seahawks against the Dolphins, I certainly don't trust that even a Skylar Thompson-led Dolphins team can't come up and beat the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I don't trust the Seahawks.
I think that's one of those situations. I trust Seattle a fair amount, Gil, but like that's one. I don't know if you want to mess around with that, what you just said, and then there's probably better spots to use Seattle going forward.
Better spots.
Yep.
Speaking of better spots, the Niners are 7-point favorites on the road against the Rams. I don't think you should use the Niners without Christian McCaffrey, without Deebo Samuel. And I get it. The Rams are a mass unit beyond belief.
Yeah, Niners kind of are.
But the Niners, you get the Rams at home. You get other teams at home. I think the Bears, they play at home. I want to say there's somebody else easier that they play at home as well. The Niners. So it's like, it's not the most organic spot to play the Niners. Let's put it that way. And then the last one on that list that I want to just throw out, the Bills, your Bills, who we just talked about. Sorry, Bills fans. I don't trust the Bills against the Jaguars, mm-hmm. nor do I against the Jaguars, if you pronounce it that way. I don't, because I think the Jaguars are one of these teams that are super unpredictable.
Yes.
And could very easily, if they won that game, would anybody be surprised?
No, not at all.
Nobody would be surprised. So those are my throwouts, to use the horse racing term. The three that I have considered here are the ones that I omitted, which are the Bucks hosting the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bo Nix just cannot throw the ball downfield.
I mean, that's pretty much all you got
to
say.
And then the Browns, now we talk about organic spots to play a team. Because in the case of the Buccaneers, you could still play them at the Giants. You could still play them at Carolina. You can still play them hosting Carolina. But remember, now that it's Andy Dalton, Carolina doesn't become the free bingo square anymore.
Yeah.
So Tampa Bay hosting the Broncos is a pretty good option. The most organic of all of these, talking about the schedule spot where it's probably the best place to play them given the opponent and home road, the Browns hosting the Giants. And I know people are like, oh, wow, are you really going to trust the Browns? Well, it's 20 weeks if you're to get to the promised land, assuming it would go all the way, which is a big assumption, but you get the idea. The Browns hosting the Giants is the spot to play the Browns in terms of their schedule. And then that's the most organic. But the one that I would feel the most comfortable with heading into the week, and this is the one where no one else seems to agree with me, is I love the Bengals as a survivor play over the Commodes on Monday night. And I get a lot of the feedback I'm getting is, oh, I don't know. You trust the Bengals? Bengals aren't going 0-3 against this outfit, to use Chrissy's word, my mishpoka. As good as Jaden Daniels has been, and good is in quotes because a lot of it is just tucking the ball and running, he has not even met Terry McLaurin, the incomparable Terry McLaurin, let alone targeting him, right? He's like, they should probably meet in practice at some point. And the defense is a sieve. So, and I know the Giants only, quote unquote, scored 18, but they only lost to the Giants, the Commodores did, because they didn't have Graham Gano. Yeah. So to me, it's the Bucks, it's the Browns, or the Bengals. Browns most organic, Bengals most comfortable. Even though you do, I think, have other opportunities to play the Bengals.
But I completely agree with you.
Oh, thank you.
Those are, I was a little squeamish beginning of the week thinking, because I think immediately I went to Browns and Bengals. And the one kind of thing holding me back in my mind was, unfortunately, I think I'm going to go with one of those two. It's going to, at least in one of my picks, it will definitely be one of those two. The one thing holding me back, though, is I just don't think, unfortunately, I don't think you're getting the Bengals or the Browns at their ceiling of where we're going to see them this season.
100%.
That's the only natural, I think, hesitation that you have in a pick like that. But
of the ones I didn't mention, Bucks, Browns, Bengals, what's your favorite?
Browns, probably.
No.
Of the other ones you didn't mention? Yeah. Man, I don't know if I'd consider any of them, but I'll go with Seahawks.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Survivor, the most fun thing to talk about, and certainly the highest percentage of tweets we get are surrounded by Survivor. We'll come back. Baseball break with Mark Borchardt.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know, we take for granted that Brent Musburger is the one that leads us into the show.
Yes, that is very true.
And so we should, just be grateful in the moment that we get the great Brent Musburger. Not just us, but the entire network obviously has Brent voicing over everything. As, after all, founder of VSiN, it's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Circa on a numbers game. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Oh, Kelly. They did not like you on the wire. GM of the week. This is Blake, Key and Peel and Key. What are they? Key and Peel. What are
Key
they?
Peel. Balake.
Balake says, "I'm sorry, but it's time for Kelly to get with it and realize that The Wire is quote absolute cinema. My favorite show of all time, next to The Sopranos." Thank you, Balake.
See, Key and Peel is better show.
Chance Copperpot. The Wire is top three best TV series of all time. That said, I don't consume it every day like I do a numbers game. #ANG. Thank you for that. And Joseph McCormick, might as well spend the entire 2 hours on how The Wire is the greatest TV show ever. You know what, Joseph? I might as well do that because Kelly's ridiculous.
You want me to say the line that really pisses people off?
Yes, please.
The Wire is Law and Order, just rated R.
Okay. Can I just say something? I'm going to leave it at this. This shows, first of all, that you did not grow up in that area of the country that I grew up in, right? Because The Wire is perfect Baltimore, right?
Yeah, I get perfect. That. I totally get
the
that.
The writer, Simon, right, is the last name, David Simon. He was a cop in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. He was in the press, and he was a cop in Baltimore. Every one of those five seasons is a specifically well thought out portion of crime in the city of Baltimore. Seasons 1 and 4 are masterpieces. Season 4 is in the schools and you forget you're watching a TV show. What are you talking about? Anyway, that's all.
It's slow and boring.
Oh,
God. Not even compared to The Sopranos. Sopranos is so good.
You're a horrible human being and a horrible judge of television.
Although Omar is amazing.
Thank you.
Omar is.
Thank you for that. Okay, the other tweets, by the way, that were beyond the wire, we should point out, not all of them are about your wire comment. Oh, we had an answer. Oh, by the way, Brian M. says, not a hair out of place on the head of Kelly Bidlin, just out of place because he belongs on the strong side, left side.
Strong side.
J-Rod. Oh, this is great. He says, have Kelly Bidlin check out Cal Twitter. They are doing a masterful job trolling FSU. Have you seen any of this as well?
No, I haven't.
It's
I'm trolling them.
Well, we're an apolitical show here, but the Cal, you can imagine the political differences between Berkeley and Tallahassee. So they are all in on just... they have leaned into that, and it is hilarious. We have an answer to our question. Thank you, James Moran, courtesy of Survivor Atlas. Your question out loud, Kelly, was how many people started with 10 entries in Survivor, Circus Survivor? And the answer is 570.
Okay.
570 started with it. And how many did I say were left? Less than 50, I believe.
Yeah.
What are you laughing? Because you don't know.
Don't
you can't remember.
Yeah.
The answer to that question was, I'll tell you exactly right now. Yes, less than 50. Less than 50 remain there.
Do you think that numbers come down? Like, because we had long conversations about that last year, right? What is the ideal number of entries to use, right? I know that was something you were batting around in your head a lot.
I have very good conviction on this, by the way. 23 with 10 entries. So less than 25, pardon me. 23 out of those 570.
Hey, you were right. It's less than 50.
I am correct. It's also less than 570. So 23 left with all 10. One of those is Sean Perry, the poker player, the villain from the Quest for $9.2 million show. We'll get to more tweets. There are a whole bunch more, but thank you for that update, James Moran. This is Mark Borchardt, everybody. He comes to us from an undisclosed location in the desert, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to talk some Major League Baseball with us. How you doing, Mark? What's happening? Look at you smiling. Oh, we don't hear
him. I love how you said the political differences between Tallahassee and Berkeley. And it just made me laugh coming from the voice of sports betting. I could almost sit here and talk about that for the next 6 minutes, Gil.
It is really funny, the way that they're doing it.
Just slightly different.
So let me ask you a couple questions. One, I've asked you this about the Braves and the Braves making the playoffs, and you were steadfast. You thought the Braves were going to get there. They're two games back now of both the Diamondbacks and the New York Metropolitans. We have 10 or 11 games left remaining on the schedule, depending on the team. What do your numbers say now, sir? Because the Braves do play the Mets three times.
Yeah, no, it favors the Mets right now. So 71% probability for the Mets, 41 roughly for the Braves. And then the Diamondbacks have a 12% chance that they won't make it, which is interesting because I have value with the Diamondbacks to win the World Series. So,
me too.
There's an outside chance, 12% by my numbers, that they won't make it, Gil.
Well, I was mentioning, I just very briefly mentioned this a couple segments ago, which is there are a few teams that seem to be staggering to the finish line, right? Like they're almost like, please let the end of the regular season get here so we can just get in already and not have to and sort of reset. The Diamondbacks kind of feel, I mean, it's a little unfair because they, you know, maybe I'm prisoner of the moment because they lost two in a row to the Rockies here. But the Braves are doing them a favor by losing games. So the Diamondbacks still have a cushion also. I feel like the Orioles are the biggest example of this, though, right? Like I said, if you seeded 12 teams in the postseason, which I know you don't, but if you did right now, are the Orioles 12 to you?
I wouldn't say that, but they're not going to be where they're going to be, right? So, The problem is that they're just injury riddled, and I don't know. I think their offense, you know, with when you look at an offense that's explosive like that, there's going to be some high peaks and there's going to be some valleys. And so I think that that's one of the offenses where maybe they'll peak at the right time and get through it. So I guess we'll have to see. That's why they play the games, Gil.
Yeah, that's why they play the games. And you're right that this postseason is as wide open as any. The Orioles can turn it on. They have a Kimbrel problem, though. We should probably point that out. What is your, forget your feel for a second, but what are your numbers telling you? Like, who do you feel most confident in heading into the baseball playoffs a little less than 2 weeks from now?
Well, I know we kind of disagreed on how good the Dodgers were. And I think losing Glasnow for me just makes it wide open. I thought that if, you know, they get Glasnow back, then maybe you can make a case that they're the strongest by a little bit or a lot or a combination of both, like a good amount, I guess. But now I think it's more wide open. You know, the interesting thing to me, getting to the Diamondbacks, because I'm showing value in the League Series and the World Series with two teams, the Padres and the Diamondbacks. And one of the things the Diamondbacks did is they brought in AJ Puk, you know, during the trading period, and he's been really good, a 41.3 strikeout percentage in the last 150 plate appearances. And then they've got two guys, their closer, Justin Martinez, a 60.9% ground ball percentage. And then Thompson's their setup seven guy. He's at 58.7. So that bullpen, especially the back end's really shored up. And I think that goes a long way in the playoffs, Gil.
Kelly and I are going to do World Series exactas coming up. I have one already between the Diamondbacks and the Royals at 400-1. By the way, you can still get that at 150-1. So there are long prices on a whole bunch of these combinations. If you had to bet something right now that wasn't so chalky, but you think might have value, what might be your World Series exacta bet?
I did one a couple days ago, and you probably get a better price right now. Diamondbacks to beat Guardians, 175-1. Thought that was a pretty good idea there.
I like that as well. There's no harm in adding. Also, I may add something, because those numbers are incredible, and they're not. Yours was for them to beat them or just the matchup.
They've got to win. So Arizona's got to beat Cleveland.
Gotcha.
So it's 175-1. But I mean, by the math, it's showing value. So that's cool.
Mine is just a matchup, by the way. I just have to get the matchup between the Diamondbacks and the Royals. Okay, baseball today, Mark, what do you have?
You know, I'm going to play a bunch of first fives, and the first one's going to be the base winner parlay, tried and true. We're going to go Detroit first five. You're talking about a team that could make the playoffs, 40% chance by my numbers, and they're sending out their best guy, Skubal, today, who's really in kind of a race for the strikeout leader of all Major League Baseball. So that's exciting to watch if you got action on that. But I'm going to pair him in a parlay with one of the guys that I've rapped about, Sonny Gray. And the rap is, Sonny, 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 can't you see the pitches you throw hypnotize teams? There we go. And so I've got price value with Sonny Gray on the first five. And you put him in a first five parlay, and it's risk one to win 1.5. So plus 150 on that. And then a pair of overs in the first five. I like Philly Brewers over first five, and then the Diamondbacks Rockies over first five, Gil.
Mark, are you still workshopping other verses in that? Still?
No, it's a whole rap. I, if you're really interested in getting the rap, I wrapped it probably, it was mid-June or end of June. Yeah, I think there's probably three verses to something. It's not bad.
I'm sure it's not bad. Okay, that was your one play of the day, what you just gave?
One play? I just ran through like three. You were so distracted by the rap.
I lost it.
You guys, speaking of hypnotized, I hypnotized you with my hypnotized version.
Sorry. After the spitting rhymes, I kind of crazy on that. Mark, thank you. It's at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com. And the BetUS show, what's the easiest way for folks to access that?
Just search MLB BetUS on YouTube and you'll get us.
All right. Thank you, Mark. VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport, their picks. So if you missed them like I just did, you can go there if you're a subscriber. We'll come back. Champions League with Paul Carr next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or mucho más on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sporttrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sporttrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sporttrade, remember, live in New Jersey, Colorado, and Iowa already. coming to Arizona, I want to say within the week, and then Virginia a few weeks later. Download Sport Trade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. We have three big topics on Twitter. Yesterday's explanation on the Eagles and the Falcons. The Wire, since you had blasphemous words for The Wire.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then most are still Survivor. That's all anybody, like, it's amazing. Judd O'Connor. The Pats have been feisty. The Cards were feisty last year, and they let the Giants off the hook. Do we really throw out our pre-flop convictions about the Pats this early? That's a good point.
I can't. I'm glad.
I can't either.
I'm glad that was tweeted, because yes, as much as I will say between today and tomorrow that I will lean that New England side, it's. I was telling Gil during a break, it's getting a little too much. How much I've heard everybody. All I've heard is Patriots Thursday night. I haven't heard person say I'm laying it with the Jets.
I haven't bet the Patriots. All I'm saying is I don't trust the Jets to play them in Survivor.
I'm with you.
Primetime Cowboys _ Cubs 1 at beating the book. He says, I'm sorry. You forgot two of the most prestigious prior gigs to earn a seat in the VEASAN room in the Circus Sportsbook building, hosting the Love Zone and spinning records at the Buzz. Mr. Bomb Apple, Survivor, it has to be Cincinnati. They will not go 0-3, as you said. Bucks was initial thought, but Tampa Bay has some key defensive players out. Kelly is spot on regarding Cincy not playing great now, and it will be quite the sweat as the last game of the NFL slate Monday night. Forrest Lehman, I took a flyer, he says, on the Tigers at 250-1 to win the American League 2 weeks ago. Nice. Still at 75-1. AL pretty weak, in my humble opinion. Thoughts? Forrest, I have them make the playoffs. And in the playoffs, I believe it is the most wide open that I can ever remember. And I don't think I'm being a prisoner of the moment saying that. Bainbridge DeWeese, why no consideration of the Jets? My partner wants to take them. I'm hesitant, so wondering your thoughts. I just don't think the Jets have looked great in either game. They could very well be 0-2, and the Patriots could very well be 2-0. So I just think there's more comfortable plays this week. Tony Farmer, who was kind enough to give us the updates on Survivor through Survivor Atlas, he said, remind Kelly that only 57% of people have Seattle left in Survivor, so they may be your best option on Christmas in Survivor. I bet very few people will have them by then. Mike Stack, Cincinnati will be better when Higgins and Chase play together. Washington has won there the last three Monday Night Football games they played against each other. The Bucks are plagued by injuries. Browns are the pick in a must-win game, as their next three games are on the road and then two home division games. Only question is, can I get a partner to agree? Oh, he's got partners with his pool, so he can't make a unilateral decision. I will agree again. Cleveland is the most organic, to use that word. It is the right spot to play them based on their schedule. You will not get a better opportunity to play Cleveland. A. Brown, I'm sorry, going to be this guy every year since I'm a Survivor pool for losers rather than winners, but I only see two non-obvious choices this week, Miami and Philly. For his loser pools, ton of opportunities later for a bad team, zig when others zag. And then Master of Puppets, here are my thoughts. Cincinnati wins and then the Raiders. Then after everyone sees Cincinnati wins, everyone will play them next week versus Carolina. The Red Rifle will take down his former team and another 1,700 plus Survivor entries. And then
I'm intrigued to see what he looks like this week.
One more from Russell Ambrose, because he says offshore Survivor contest early week pick distribution. This is really good way to gauge how your Survivor pool may go, if you're in a big one anyway. 9,644 Survivors left, 26% of the pool he's referring to. The Bengals are the most picked at 21%, the Bucks right behind them at 19% currently, Raiders 16% against the Panthers, Browns 14%. So three of my four are in the top four there.
Wait, so what
and
is
then
this?
It's Jets, Seahawks, 49ers, and Bills. This is people who have already submitted.
Okay.
This is the pool percentages breakdown.
I mean, if you can't change your submission, I would not be putting them in this that early. Raiders right there. You probably don't feel as great about right now.
Paul Carr joins us from an undisclosed location. It's from Topeka, Kansas, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr. He, of course, is at True Media Networks and is the host of the Expected Value podcast. Paulie, what's happening?
Gil, I wish I could join you in the Survivor love, but I went out in week one and my whole pool that I've been running for 20 years is all kaput. Everyone's done after 2 weeks.
You're like the third person to tell me that their pool is done after 2 weeks. Sorry.
It was a good run.
I'm sorry for your loss.
That's happened to us. Yeah. 2015 is the only other time everyone was done through 2 weeks. We have about 20 people.
Before we get to the Champions League, what I love about so many of our guests is you actually listen to the show as well. You had something to say about The Wire?
So I actually, I have not seen The Wire. It's maybe the biggest hole in my TV viewing slate because it's right up my alley. What I have seen is Homicide. This is David Simon's show that came out before The Wire. It was on NBC in the early mid 90s. I've just started a rewatch because it just got finally put on Peacock. It hasn't been streaming forever. So if you like The Wire, I would recommend checking out Homicide because, as I understand, it's kind of a, it's almost a rough draft, but I don't mean that in a derogatory way because it's really good and really different than anything that was on TV, you know, 30 years ago.
Oh, that's interesting.
I feel like you brought that up before.
No,
maybe Paul did.
No, I brought up what he did after The Wire, which was a show called Tremé, which is about the jazz scene in New Orleans, which is not for everybody. Not for everybody. And I mentioned teams staggering into the postseason in Major League Baseball, and I cited the Orioles, I cited the Diamondbacks. I left out one, didn't I?
Yeah, my Royals are staggering, might be overstating it, but they've had this opportunity with the Orioles staggering to pass them and get the top wild card seed. You know, 2 weeks ago, the Royals were tied for first in the division with the Guardians, and they lost 7 in a row, and they kind of bounced back, but they've had a lead in 12 of the last 13 games and are below 500 in those games. So they should still make it, but they're only, I think, 3 games up on the Tigers now. But they just had a missed opportunity to host the whole wild card series, and it doesn't look like they're going to get there now.
I do feel with like them and the Diamondbacks, because you're right, staggering is a little too dramatic. But I feel like if the regular season was 1 week longer, it'd be much more terrifying. But
I'd be hiding under the desk watching games the rest of the season.
Do we stagger or stumble? I thought we stumbled.
They stumble. Yeah.
I say Royals are stumbling.
Stumbling.
Staggering is a little more dramatic where you're like in the corner and you can the ref might come in and stop the fight kind of thing.
Right.
Okay. Champions League. New format. Do tell.
So before we had 32 teams, 8 groups of 4, top 2 advance. Now there is one 36-team league. Each team is playing 8 games, so you obviously have different opponents. And the top 8 will advance to the round of 16. Teams 9 through 24 will go to the round of 32, essentially a play-in game. So it looks a lot different. It's not quite as clean to analyze. You have a lot of different matchups for better and worse. I'm not a big fan of it. This is all about the money, getting more good teams, more games. And there will be a lot of drama once we get to January when this group stage ends. But now it just looks a lot different, feels a lot different as we get started.
All right. 3 pack of picks coming from Paul Carr Champions League.
Okay,
go. What you got?
This is today. Bologna from Serie A versus Shakhtar Donetsk out of Ukraine. Bologna is here for the first time in Champions League. They lost their coach, a good chunk of their team from last season because, you know, they were good. They got sold for a lot of money. And Bologna's off to a slow start, but the underlying numbers look a lot better. They've outshot opponents by 21 this year. Their expected goal difference is positive, even though they don't have any wins. And this is not quite the same Shakhtar team we see in recent years. They have big stars, often Brazilian. Decent team, a lot of players from Ukraine's Euro team, but I like Bologna at home. Minus 105, you know, just taking the better team at home in this one.
All right, Bologna with the win, minus 105 versus Shakhtar Donetsk from the Ukraine, or from Ukraine, I should say. Bologna Serie A, as you said, which is Italian. Okay,
this is
next.
A big one.
This one's big, yeah. What do you got here?
This is the big one. This is why they kind of rejiggered the format to get some matchups like this early on. Manchester City against Inter Milan, two of the 3 or 4 best teams in Europe over the past 5 years. It's a rematch of the final from 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, 2023 final. City won that one 1-0, although Inter easily could have. And most of these teams are back. Same managers, a good chunk of the players as well. City's off to a great start in the Premier League. They're undefeated, but they haven't been all that great against Brentford and Chelsea, the two decent teams that they played. Inter defense, good as usual. I think Inter keeps this tight. I'm going under 2.5, which is a throw up in your mouth kind of play when Man City's involved. But I like it here, getting plus money at plus 125.
Well, at least it's in your mouth, Paul. And then Thursday, what do you got?
Another under here. Atletico against RB Leipzig. Atletico has been really good so far. Their defense kind of looks vintage, like Atletico's been over the last decade. RB Leipzig looks like they're off to a good start, but their underlying numbers indicate they're just finishing really well and not generating the type of scoring chances we're used to seeing. So I think Atletico has the defense come through at home. They grind out a low scoring game. I like under here also, under 2.5 at plus 120. This game and the City Inter game are both tomorrow.
All right, Bologna to win, and then 2 unders in the Man City Inter Milan game and Atletico Madrid against RB Leipzig. RB Leipzig in what league, Kelly?
The Bundesliga.
The Bundesliga. Yeah. That's right. 1, 2, 3. Sorry. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it as always.
You're welcome.
Paul Carr, everybody. True Media Networks at Paul Carr. And of course, the Expected Value podcast with a 3-pack from the Champions League. World Series exactas. Let's do that next.